right now. They sure do need your prayers.
Ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Amen. God bless you, son.
Good evening, everyone. It's good to be here tonight. I'm going to be preaching out of Luke 4, verse number 30. If you got your Bibles, and you can, and you're willing and able, can you please stand while I read and honor the Word of God? When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Alrighty. So, I'm going to go ahead and tell it right now. In my last time that I was preaching, I wound up having a mistake. I had was reading and then went all the way through my intro and forgot to set the people down. So if y'all are getting tired or whatever, and I accidentally don't set you down, just take it upon yourself, sit down. Alrighty. So I want to go ahead and start reading out of verse number 30 in Luke 4. Alrighty, and it says, "But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God.' And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Hold thy peace and come out of him.' And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, 'What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out.'" Now, Lord, I want to thank you for just being able to be you, Lord, and being able to let us all know you and be able to just feel you, Lord. And I want to thank you for everything that you've done for me in my life, Lord. I want to thank you for being able to provide a good church like I have here, Lord. And I want to thank you for having a good preacher, Lord, and a good leadership here at this church, Lord. If anybody needs to turn to you, Lord, we all can, Lord. You're the Almighty Lord, and I want to thank you for dying on the cross for all of our sins, Lord, and just being here for us, Lord. When we need you most, Lord, you're there, Lord. When we don't need you, Lord, you're still there, Lord, which we all need you, Lord, and I want to thank you for that, Lord. Heavenly name I pray, Lord. Amen. Y'all may be seated. And on my first point, I want to be talking about Jesus' passing, and that's in verse 30 through 31, and it says, "But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days." I want to thank God that whenever I was lost in sin, whenever I was down in doubt, he came my way. He pulled me out of a dark hole that nobody else could pull somebody out of. He was there for me, Lord, and whenever I didn't know who to turn to, I could turn to the Lord. And he just be able to be there for me. Like no other man, no other person can be there like the Lord can be there for you. I want to thank God for being here for me whenever I needed him, Lord. For whenever I didn't need him, I needed him. Whenever I didn't think I needed him, I needed him. I want to thank God for just being able to be putting me whenever I was lost, having a good church like I got, being able to have a place that a good pastor can provide for all of us up here, and being able to break the bread of life before all of us. And, you know, Lord's doing so many things in our life that we don't even think that he has done. He's pulled us out from so many things that we didn't even see ourselves in. He's always been there. And then my second point is how Jesus rebuked, meaning scolding, a man that had an unclean devil spirit. And that was in verse 33 through 35. And it says right here, It says, "And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thou who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. I want to thank God for whenever I was down, and he rebuked me. He got that devil under control. He got me under control, my spirit under control. And I was untouched by the devil doing that. The devil will try to pull you down. And whenever he's trying to pull you down, you got to turn to the good Lord. You got to be able to ask for him, for his mercy on you, and for his hands of protection over you. And without God, you got nothing. I talked about a piece out of an old scripture that I had at one point in time. Mine and Brother Dalton's had went pretty good together. I was talking about a poor man who didn't have nothing in the world. But as far as him being in his spirit, because of him having the good Lord, he had it all. Without the Lord, you have nothing. I want to thank God for coming into my life and being here for me whenever I didn't think I needed him. He was here. And then Brother Dalton was talking about a man who had everything that the world could offer, but he didn't have nothing because he didn't have the Lord. And that man, he died and went to hell. And if you don't have the Lord in your life, you don't know the Lord, you're going to go to hell. I don't really like saying it like that, but that's where you're going. If you don't have the Lord, you go in there. I want to thank God for me going to heaven. The crystal seas, the gold, the mansion that He's already built for me up in glory. Everything that the Lord's already prepared for me, and I don't know it yet, I want to thank Him for it right now. I want to thank Him for me being here, being able to worship Him, and know how good the Lord is. Even whenever I don't know how good I got it good. And then, I'm glad that an old sinner like me can have the Jesus, God can rebuke me, and being able to take that devil and providing me with the hands of protection to be able to sit there and turn to the Lord. The Lord does some wonderful things in your life. If some people, they just don't want to open their eyes and realize just how good they got it. Well, if you ain't opening your eyes, I hope you open them. Today would be a good night to open your eyes and see what all the Lord's provided you with. And then my third point, I want to talk about how the fever of Simon's wife's mother was healed from Jesus. And that was in 39 and 40. And it says right here, "And he stood out..." Well, actually, I think I skipped something here. "38, it says, "And he arose out of the synagogues and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto him." Well, and then in verse number 40, it says, "Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers disease brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them." I want to thank God for healing me. Whenever I was, my bad about that, thought I had my phone on silent. Whenever I was down and about, whenever I was sick with the devil, the Lord came and He pulled me out and He rebuked that fever out of me. And He provided me with this good church and a good family that I got that's provided me to be in a good church like I am. And then I want to thank God for not hurting me. Whenever the devil was trying to hurt me. The Lord kept me safe. Whenever the devil was trying to bring me down and bring me down and bring me down, he didn't do nothing but bring me up. And I want to thank God for that. You know, I want to thank God that all the sick that came to Jesus and he laid his hands on the sick and he healed them. I want to thank God for healing me, healing my soul tonight. And I'm thankful and blessed to have a healing Jesus. Somebody that no doctor, no man, no machine or handmade machine that man has made can ever heal us the way that Jesus has ever healed us. I want to thank God for that. Whenever I was down and about, he pulled me out. He healed me. I want to thank God for that and for his hands of protection over us. Amen.
Bible warns us as Christians not to give place to the devil. Because he'll do everything he can to slip into your life. And I remind you, he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm glad that there's one greater than him. He lives inside of us. He's available. And he's able to do exceedingly abundantly and above all that we can ask or think. And so there's no reason for us to let the devil have control of our life. And amen. Amen. Brother Isaiah, you come ahead, son. Good to have this young man tonight. You preach what God's laid on your heart. You're on right there.
Amen, amen. Can you hear me? Let's give God a hand clap of praise in this place. Because he's worthy to be praised. Liberty Baptist Church, thank you for having me this evening. This God-given opportunity. The Lord has definitely been moving in my life here lately, and many of you know have seen me from high school being up here, coming to church. I've came a long way, been saved by his grace, so it's just keep me in your prayers. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, where we just come to you as humble as we know how and just want to say thank you. Lord, we just thank you for your grace, your mercy, Lord, shedding your grace upon us, Lord. Lord, just let me give you all the increase tonight, Lord, and decrease my image, Lord, that you may be glorified and honored through everything that comes out of my mouth today, Lord. Lord, we just love you. We thank you. Lord, Holy Spirit, move through this place. In Jesus' name, amen. You can turn with me to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 1 and 4. And when you get there, can you say amen? Habakkuk 2, chapter 2. And he says, you can all stand. And the word of God says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say to me. And what shall I answer when I'm reproved? And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, and he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his son which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. May the Lord have a blessing for the reading of his word. You may be seated. Waiting is a lifestyle. And within the Bible, we see that it's found in 116 instances. See, time is the essence And we live in an impatient culture. In today's world, we want everything right now. We're on a time crunch, and time is ticking away. As a society, we're not good at not doing nothing. How quick can we get things done? How quick can I get to the next dollar? How quick can I get to my next destination? How quick can I get these next few tasks done in a timely manner? Or how quickly can I rush into suiting my own needs, wants, and desires? But according to Stan Floresco, psychology professor at the University of Columbia, says having a wealthy reserve of patience can re-engage the frontal lobe functions, meaning you can be less likely to act reckless and make poor decisions. See, frustration is not the key to opening your door. Without patience, you turn into your own taskmaster. Patience is a lifelong spiritual practice. It's when you're able to step back, regroup, and instead aggressively giving up in a certain situation that's frustrating you. With patience, it's intimately intuitive and all about perfect timing, which is God's timing. And with the spiritual mindset, patience, he has a twin, which is faith. The power twins, they go hand in hand. Sometimes we often look as patience as a huge goal that we need to attain, or we say, I wish I had patience, as if it's a germ or a disease that we can catch. But patience is like the vehicle that takes your faith to the finish line. Which leads me to the title of my message today. Hold up, wait a minute, let me put some faith in it. Hold up, wait a minute, let me put some faith in it. April 30th, 2023, a young man and his mother are headed to a graveyard to put balloons on a loved one's grave for their birthday. And while heading to the cemetery, the mother and son bicker at each other back and forth the entire time from when they left the house up until they arrived at the graveyard. Now you may ask, what in the world were they fussing about for that long? Let me tell you, the young man had some thoughts, some plans on why he was frustrated and sounded absolutely crazy towards his mother, and she wasn't hearing it. But he was frustrated with a lot of things. He came home with numerous desires on his heart that God spoke to him about. And if you talk to him, it seemed like he was on fire for Jesus. See, he had crazy faith, but he lacked a lot of patience. But the two bickered and bickered all the way out of the vehicle as if they were fussing about why someone didn't do the dishes the night before. But they noticed that they had no way of getting home until they found out the keys were locked in the vehicle. And the mother looks and smiles at the son and says, now what? And after a few phone calls, the mother leaves and finds a solution and told the son she'll be back. Frustrated and mad at the world, the young man storms off, and across the street was a deceased church from the graveyard. And the son was concerned and thought he would be alone the entire time. It was just him, the good Lord, and the church. And he walked around the church with tears rolling down his face. He got tired of walking left, and he plopped down on the steps and cried out to God and meditated and prayed. He started questioning his whole entirety, and he asked God, what are you teaching me right now? And he heard God clear as day and said, patience. Patience in life. Patience in the plans that I have for you. Patience for tomorrow. Patience right now in this very moment. Simply patience. So he got up, and after praying and started walking in the right direction, but he started walking in the right direction, and he circled the church and would get to the end of the building and look and turn his head to see if his answers were there, which was to get the keys out of the truck. And every time he looked back, car after car would pass by, and he'd be like, no, it's not my mom. It's not the car. I have no answer. And he kept circling around the church and pacing back and forth. And as he began his last lap, not knowing it'd be his last lap, he was close to the finish line. He said to God, I'm going to keep my eyes on you. He said to himself, keep your head forward. Don't look back. Have faith. Move off faith, not by sight. He turns the corner in hope and confidence that waiting on the Lord and moving off faith would be the deal breaker. And there she was. Donna Terry had the keys to the vehicle. See, God answered his prayers while teaching them spiritual growth, which was waiting on the Lord patiently. Sometimes we get caught in a rut when things aren't going our way. You don't know what God is in store for you until you give him a call and you cast your cares for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Everything that is lingering through your mind and on your heart in your current situation as of today cannot be dealt with alone, because God's timing is on time. And in this little book of Habakkuk, in these three chapters, we see it's like a little book of Job. We also see in certain places like Psalms, where you can prepare for evil, an evil time or situation that's thrown your way. And the Bible says we shouldn't count on good times, but even in disasters and hardships, God is working. And there are ways for you to face it. In the background of this text, in chapter 1 of Habakkuk, we see the perplexity of the prophet saying that he's learning that God has the answers for his questions. He's complaining to God, saying, look at all the suffering that's happening in this nation right now. And God responds, it's going to get worse. I'm going to raise the Babylonians up. He said, they'll invade your country. And Habakkuk, he's upset. But he waits and he prays to hear God's second answer, which is the text that we're looking at tonight. And in this passage, it's a great thing of waiting on the Lord. And we're going to find out some ways tonight on how we can wait patiently, prospectively, and obediently. And in verse 3, it says, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks at the end and it will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come. It will not delay. See, God's answering Habakkuk, saying, I'm going to send you a vision. I'm going to send you some signs. It may come at different times. It may linger. It may tarry. It'll take time, but wait for it. See, the basic Hebrew word for wait or to wait is to be patient. Maybe you're at a drive-thru, wrapped around the building 3 or 4 times, or waiting at the doctor's office, or waiting at a bus stop. Just like I had to wait on my mother to come back with the keys after having a whole lifelong tragedy, I had to learn patience. You're waiting for those in your family to come to Christ, to walk with God. You're waiting on the new job opportunity, or it's just not coming quick enough. But don't despair. Don't give in. Be patient. Instead, when you're confused, you're perplexed, giving up, you're patient. But in your troubles, in your circumstances, patience comes from a deliberate action of humility. See, humility is not knowing your place, is recognizing that you have a right to something and being able to let it go to serve someone else, which should be our Lord and Savior. In the Bible, in James chapter 4:13, it says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there and carry on business and make money. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live to do this or that. And at times we have our visions, we have our goals, our plans written down, just like it says in Habakkuk, write the vision down and make it plain. But we really don't know if that's going to happen. I'll get that job opportunity. I'll get that new car, or I'll move into that new house, or whatever the case may be. You don't know. You ought to just say, if it's the Lord's will. So what does that mean? When our dreams and our aspirations don't happen, when things don't go our way, we begin to think out of anger and despair. Worries, anxieties, the pulls of our feelings that we just can't help at times. But our feelings arise out of an assumption of our own will. You may say, if this doesn't happen, then this is going to happen. But we really just don't know. You're already upset by your own assumption. But I'm telling you today that we need to lay down the uncertainty and cast that burden. Be humble, put away your pride and your own flesh-filled ways, and face a can of humility and trust God. We need to have a mindset to shift our circumstances and look at the bigger picture. When troubling times happens, when difficulties come upon us, disappointments that many of us are facing right now, in this very moment tonight, we never say, what an opportunity for me to expand my spiritual growth as a follower of Christ. and look at God and what He wants me to become. We never think that way. When you meet disappointments with patience, it turns you into something good. In James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect the entire time, lacking nothing." Or here in Romans 5 and 3, it says, "And not so only, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." When tribulations meets patience, it turns you into a new person of character, a person of poise. See, pressure turns a lump of coal into a diamond. When circumstances come upon you, you can become a bitter person or you can be patient. And in the end, you'll become more peaceful and have greater endurance. While pride is considered the greatest sin, humility is considered the greatest virtue. Sometimes God is going to break you down entirely and then break you through. He's going to test your faithfulness. You've been tested. You've witnessed the storm. You've been beaten up and torn down. You've been through hell and high waters. But when the smoke clears and God says, "It's time," you'll walk with your head high because your confidence is in Christ. But we have to be patient and wait and obey Him and wait on Him. When you're broken down, it'll drive you to either have a far better prayer life or no prayer life at all. In the Bible, in the book of Job, chapter 23:10, it says, "But He knoweth the way that I take when He hath tried me. I shall come forth as pure gold." Come forth as gold. Let me add to the word. Job became a great man of faith while suffering and losing everything he had. He knoweth in the first two words of the verse 10, it says, Job is saying that God knows what He's doing with me, but I don't. He knows when God was going to bring him out of the situation that he was in. When he was suffering, God will bring him forth with a testimony of faith, which is like pure gold. Job suffered the loss of his children, the loss of livestock, the loss of his wealth, but he kept God in his view. See, God knows your situation more than you do right now. So meet it with patience, and you'll bear far more fruit. In verse 1 of Habakkuk, it says, "I will station myself on the ramparts. I will stand upon my watch and set upon the tower." And this is considered waiting prospectively. From the tower, you're sitting up high, and you can see everything that's happening. You're looking at your situation in a broader sense. Habakkuk is saying, spiritually, I'm going into the tower, and I'm going to wait. He's saying you must look beyond the root of your problem and look at what Scripture is telling you. Going into the tower is here in Romans 8:18, when Paul says, "For I reckon," which is, I calculated, I added up, "the sufferings of this present times are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Paul suffered with physical problems with his eyes, as well as being persecuted. But he puts it in a broader perspective. He says, "My sufferings cannot compare to this glory revealed in us, because any situation or circumstance that you may be facing isn't too big for God." What is Paul doing right now? He's going into the tower. He's waiting. He's looking at it, his situation perspectively. Paul is getting into the tower and says, "The only sickness that can be paid for is sin." And that's already been paid for. He said, "Well, many of us might be in debt tonight. You might say, I'm in a bunch of debt, but the only debt right now is sin. And that's already been paid for." See, there are true riches we have received because of our Lord and Savior who paid it all for sinners like you and me. But we must wait on the Lord and look at the bigger picture and putting it in a different perspective instead of meditating and feeling our own self-pity from our situations. Thirdly, we must wait on the Lord obediently. Habakkuk is saying he's going to stand at his watch. I'm going to stand at my watch, meaning I will not leave my post. Habakkuk is asking God some real hard questions throughout the whole book of Habakkuk in the first chapter, even up until the second chapter. but he doesn't leave his post. He's waiting. You may be weary. You may feel like you can't hear God and he's absent. You may not be getting nothing out of your prayer life. But that doesn't mean you give in. You stand at your watch and you keep trusting God and believing. I might not have the answer to my problem, but I can wait for an answer from God. That's being obedient. Waiting on God obediently is to not just wait around. A couple semesters ago, I began working at a restaurant, and in this sense, you're not waiting around whenever you're serving, waiting on people. You're actually running around serving others, tending to others. And a true servant for the Lord is serving. Serving whenever you don't feel like it. Being obedient whenever you don't feel like it. You still do your duty and you just keep at it. That's obedient. Oftentimes we begin waiting on the Lord and we give in and we stop praying. We stop coming to church services. We stop reading our Bibles. We stop coming to Bible study. But let me tell you, you may not be hearing God speak to you. Even you might be serving God, but the devil is always whispering. You might be serving God, but the devil is always tapping on your shoulder. He's steady tugging at you. Coming at you in every which way he can. Seems like every time I get ready for a sermon, I have a couple encounters with a snake or a couple hornets. Just the devil tugging at me every which way he can. But while living in this crazy world and fighting off the flesh, as Christians, we're constantly in a spiritual warfare battle. Daily. And it's up to you to stand firm and not to fall into temptation and let the devil take you for a ride. Obeying and waiting on the Lord isn't just doing the things you should do. It's not doing the things you should do. It means it's not trying to do the things you shouldn't do. You feel weary. You feel empty. You want to do things that make you feel good in the moment. You turn to things like such as money, sex, food. You feel good for the moment. You high for the moment. But it's only temporary. That's leaving your post. But it's important to know that we shouldn't leave our post. It says, stand at our post and put on the full armor of God. It says in Scriptures, Ephesians 6:14-17, it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and yet in your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Yes, sir. Above all, taking the shield of faith, where we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Although we are assured of victory, we must engage in the struggles until Christ comes back, because the devil is constantly battling everybody that's on the Lord's side. We need supernatural power to defeat the devil, and God has provided that in us, which is the Holy Spirit, and his armor that is surrounding us. While we're waiting, we're not wrestling just against the flesh and the blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And even in the book of Job, we see that Satan is coming to God, and he says, does Job serve God for nothing? Satan says to God, Job looked like he looks like he's your servant. He looks like he's waiting on you, but he's actually just waiting on your blessings. He looked like he's only loving you. Is he loving you for being God? But he's actually only loving you for the things he's getting. And when you think about it, he's right. Satan is actually right, meaning sometimes you're a baby in Christ, you're fresh into the relationship with God, your first connection with God, you're doing it to get something out of it. You're doing it because you may feel unhappy, guilty, you might be looking for forgiveness, and that's fine, but it's better not to stay self-centered because that becomes hypocrisy. See, waiting on the Lord is loving him for who he is. And that means to be faithful to him even when you get nothing out of it. And like I said earlier, it's only times and troubles to see we have an opportunity to turn your self-centeredness into being God-centric, because he's the center of it all. Only when loving him gives you no benefit at all, we have to become servants of serving God, because he holds the power to everything. It's possible to get there, but it's very difficult to get there in rough times. whenever you witness these tough trials and circumstances, God is really asking you this. He's saying, we will find out if you got in this relationship with me to serve me or get me to serve you. Are we serving the Lord or are we waiting on Him to serve our wants? Did we get in this relationship to reap the benefits? In verse 4 of Habakkuk 2, in the end of it, it says, the just shall live by faith. And faith in this situation isn't just holding on to God. It's not looking at your situation and being affected by them. It's looking at what God has done to save you when His perfect time appears. And in Scripture, we see many times when God is on time. Like when He feeds the 5,000 with the 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, He was on time. Or like Daniel in the lion's den, He was on time. The Hebrew boys of faith. When the Israelites marched around the city, living by faith for 6 days, and on the 7th day, they blew the horns, and they collapsed. And Joshua, that's living by faith. He may not come when you want Him, but He'll be there right on time. It'd be nice to shift your mindset to have a little joy whenever you're going through these rough times. Amen. Scripture says, and I do want you guys to turn here, in Luke 12:35. And in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is telling a parable about a master who leaves his servants behind. Some are obedient and faithful to Him. Others are not so much, unfaithful and not being obedient, and think He's not coming back. And the passage of Scripture is showing that Jesus Christ wants His followers to wait for Him. He wants them to wait on Him, wait patiently, and live obediently. And in verse 35, it says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for the Lord, when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Yes. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve Him. And if He shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. In verse 39 it says, and this knows if the owner of the house had known what the hour of the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. But ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when he think not. What is Jesus actually saying in this passage? He's saying, I'm going to sit my people down at the table and wait on them. He's saying, I'm going to focus all my power that I possibly can on you, on us. All my divineness, my infinities, and supernatural power I will give to you, and you'll have joy. He's saying, if you wait for me, if you wait on me, I will serve you. I will wait on you. And we've seen before He's done it already. The night before Jesus died, He girded up his loins and washed the feet of the disciples, waiting on them like a servant, like a table waiter. He was going to the cross and waiting and dying for our sins. But that's the ultimate example of patience. That's not giving up. That's loving with everything inside. That's serving. That's being obedient to the good Lord. That's not giving up in the garden where He was tempted. He's waiting, so why can't we wait on Him now? Knowing Jesus did it in the past, and He said He's going to do it in the future, why can't we just wait until He comes back? Obediently, prospectively, and unconditionally. You will be saved by His loving grace, so live by His faith. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for this word, Lord, that it may take it and abide it to our lives, Lord. Lord, just help us wait on You, Lord. And not look at our own flesh-filled ways, Lord, our own desires, Lord, our own needs and wants, Lord, that we may just look at it in a different picture, Lord, a bigger perspective, Lord, that You already have our situations worked out, Lord, that it's already in Your plans that You have for us, Lord, that we to stay obedient to you, Lord, that we wait on you and wait on you with all everything that we that's in us, Lord, because we owe everything to you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We love you. Lord, we just thank you for your Son, Lord, for going on the cross and dying for sinners like us, Lord. Lord, that we have received this Holy Spirit that lives within us, Lord. Lord, that just help us reach others that may not know you, Lord. That we lead them to Christ, Lord, and just go and make disciples, Lord. And we love you, and we thank you. Lord, help us cling to you in troubling times, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.